Have you tried changing your health year on year, resolving that this year things are going to be different, but nothing seems to change? Oftentimes, when things are not changing, we are following many wellness myths and not looking at the full picture, including our nutrition, recovery, stress management, leaving out mind-body connection. I want to introduce you to Wellness Redefined, a new podcast from Rufilion Media that's here to dispel all your myths about wellness and fitness while sharing stories of how we've redefined what it means to be healthy. On each episode, we'll be talking to experts from all walks of life who will share their own unique wellness journey and offer their perspective. I am your host, Tamika Rochester, founder and CEO of Harlem Cycle, a premier wellness space in New York City with a focus on indoor cycling. I've been an advocate for wellness since as early as I can remember. So if this sounds like something that could help change your life, go ahead and pause the show you're listening to and subscribe to Wellness Redefined on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, Brooke does TV.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I had two lines.
Oh, yeah, two. I thought it was just one.
No, two speaking lines. You know what my very first line was? Did I already tell you?
Well, I thought we read it.
So my first line was...
I don't know why I'm laughing already.
Kiss my ass.
Stop it.
My very first line in... a TV show, also a movie, because I didn't say anything in Wonder Woman.
Kiss my ass.
Was kiss my ass. Between the Reps with Brooke Entz and Gina Chancharulo is a CastBox original, produced alongside Studio 71.
CastBox is the fastest growing and highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, where you can find all your favorite podcasts.
You can listen to Between the Reps wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you'll give CastBox a shot. We think it's the best. Let me ask you something. You know how it's like if you're a woman, you're an actress. If you're a guy, you're an actor.
Right.
But if you're a woman, can you be an actor?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, be an actor.
You're an actor.
Hey guys, welcome to Between the Reps with Brooke and Gina. We're back. Again. Who knew? Yeah, we're actually not going anywhere for a whole year because we're in contract. So you better just suck it up and listen to all these episodes. Hopefully
thank
by
you,
the end,
five of you that listen to us.
Yeah,
every,
thank you.
Every week.
Hopefully by the end of this, you guys are gonna actually, we're gonna be so good at it, and you're gonna love it so much that we just keep it going. Today, we're gonna talk about where I was just at because I just flew in from Atlanta yesterday, and before that, I was in Pittsburgh.
You've been all over the place.
Yeah, I mean,
I've just been
I
at
do.
Home.
You know, I actually try to take you everywhere with me.
I
you're like,
do.
I
you're
can't. And I'm like, what? You have a life? Wow, that's weird. My favorite though is when people actually ask me like, where's Gina? And I'm like, at home.
She has a life.
She, you
believe
know,
it or
working.
Not.
I'm like, I try to take her everywhere, but I don't know. I guess I need to make more money so I could pay you.
Yeah.
Like I could pay you so you could actually live. Yeah.
Oh, you're so sweet.
All right, guys. So where I was in Atlanta filming a couple episodes of a TV show, which I cannot tell you what it was because this episode will come out before that episode comes out. But yeah, Brooke does TV.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I had two lines.
Oh, yeah, two. I thought it was just one.
No, two speaking lines. You know what my very first line was? Did I already tell you?
Well, I thought we read it.
Oh, we did.
Yeah.
But so, okay, the first episode we were in is like the very end of it. But when we were about to film it, the director came in and he basically said, he was like, okay, I'm going to throw you guys lines because it's really weird that none of you're all here, but none of you are saying anything. So he like threw lines at us so we could like,
oh, so you got
they
more.
Were basically working with me. I don't know how the whole process is with TV or, or movies and scripts and things like that, but they do rewrite and change things all the time. Obviously they want to make sure it makes the most sense or the vibe or the people too. So my first line was,
I don't know why I'm laughing already.
Kiss my ass.
Stop it.
My very first line in a TV show, also a movie, because I didn't say anything in Wonder Woman.
Kiss my ass.
Was kiss my ass.
Wait, did you do it like a few different ways?
No. If you guys have followed me on my social media, you saw a photo of me that looked like I was either dead or frozen. I was frozen. Okay, so basically... I got woken up after 30 years of being frozen. So I was like kind of, you know, how would you be if you just woke up? Like if you can't really talk that well. You haven't said anything for 30 years.
So were you like,
kiss I was like,
my ass.
Anyways, I went into this show and it was awesome. But here's what's crazy when I'm learning about TV and movies in general, but like everything is way last minute. And like episodic.
What do you mean last minute?
Okay, well, something like a big movie would have much more of a plan, but doing like episodic shows, like they're in season two of this show and we filmed episodes for season two. Oh. So, like, things can be done, like, pretty...
Quick,
and, like, right. last minute. I mean, they have... There's some time, right? Because you have, like, one episode comes out a week. That's how normally it is for us when we watch shows, right? So they have some time to do it. But if things need to be changed or adjusted or, like, something happens on, you know, they can adapt very quickly. So I, after the Justice League, if you guys don't know who I am, or you kind of know who I am, but you don't know my history in the movies, I did Wonder Woman.
My extensive career in the movies.
I did Wonder Woman and the Justice League. I was an Amazon in both those movies. You barely see me in Wonder Woman, but just know that I was there. And you definitely see me in the Justice League. I catch the wall, if you know what that scene was. I basically saved the queen. I sacrificed myself for the queen.
Our hero, yes.
I'm a hero. After that, it was recommended to me to pursue more of that stuff. And so I started taking acting classes because a friend of mine was saying, you know, you need to basically work your acting muscle the same way. It was like their creative way of trying to help me understand, you know, like I train so hard so I can compete and do well, like practice to get better, right? So same thing, like train your acting muscle so I can be better at acting. And my acting coach, she has submitted me for a couple of auditions. So I've done, this one was my third self-tape. So sometimes they want you to come in, which makes sense why, where people always live in LA or they live in Atlanta, because things can be very last minute where they want to see you and you can't always get a flight,
right?
Or like drive the hours to be there on time, you know, so you need to be available. So sometimes they do self-tapes for people that aren't around. So I did, this is my third self-tape. It was definitely better than my first two. It can be hard, obviously.
I wouldn't be able to do it.
It was real. I mean, it's,
yeah.
Like, even for us, like now having, even, okay, doing Wonder Woman or the Justice League, you're there. Everyone around you, you create the scene, you create the story. It's a lot easier for you to like be in it when you're seeing it.
Right.
Right. You're in it. So when you do like a self-tape or you go in for an audition, you don't have any of that. You have to, hopefully you've prepared your character the way that they want it. I mean, you can pretty much do a role any way, right? You can like you said, how many times did you say it? Did you say it differently every time? Just like that. So I kind of had to make decisions, like creative decisions with my acting coach. Do this self-tape, and then you just hope that they see it, and either A, they can see your potential, they really like you, and they're like, I would put in work to help her or him perform it the way that I want it. Like, mm-hmm. I can see the potential, it just will take a little bit of work, right?
For me, like,
try it like this.
Right.
Do it like this. But sometimes, if they don't want to have to do that, I mean, obviously, you'd want to hire someone who you don't have to train them. They're just already doing it the way you want it.
Right.
So I did send in the self-tape. I didn't hear back. I was not surprised. Like, this is really new for me to, you know, because for Wonder Woman and stuff, I didn't audition. I didn't go after the audition. They called me and asked me to come in. Right. I went in and read for the role, and then I ended up getting the part.
Right.
And none of the Amazons really spoke, so the reading wasn't that big of a deal. They didn't call me back. Not a problem. It definitely was a role that I was like, this is something I would really be good at. My acting teacher, too. That's why she submitted me. Mm-hmm. Because it was a role that played very well with my personality and my physique. I'm for sure typecasted. And it's not a problem.
Right.
And I was in Brazil. So like weeks have passed, you know, and I'm in Brazil. I was there for 2 weeks and I got an email. It's like I get Wi-Fi and I check my email and I've got an email from my the acting school. And they're like, so they want you, but it's for a different role. And they need to know if you're available all these dates. And I'm like, holy cow. Like, so now it's for a completely different role. They didn't send me a script. I have no idea who it is. and I just have to tell them if I'm available. I had no idea if I was, but I was. So I'm like, yeah, I'm available.
They give you like all these like lots of dates. Out weeks.
Yeah, lots of
so
different
weeks.
You have
weeks. To be really available like the last minute.
Yeah. And so I said, yes. Okay, well, then I had a lot of things that were coming up. Like we needed to film our podcast. I had a trip to Pittsburgh I was supposed to do with Paleo Ethics. I needed to go to Salt Lake for Athea Skincare. Christmas, I'm going back to Brazil for a wedding. Like there's a lot of things, but I kept having to try and put some stuff off. So companies I worked with, I need to go to Sacramento. Companies I work with, I knew that they understood what it was I was trying to land. And in return, it would be good for them if I was like developing my career outside of just my fitness. So, but I never heard back. And I kept checking with my teacher, emailing like, you know, have you heard anything? Because I really want to do this, but all these other things, this is my job.
Right.
Right. This is how I pay my bills. Mm-hmm. These are people that depend on me and I work with, and I can only keep them waiting for so long. You know, and so finally they said, well, you can't put your life on hold. So, you know, do your stuff and kind of we'll cross the bridge when we come to it. So I did that and never heard back. So I kind of was just like, okay, well, maybe, you know, they found someone else again because it's a whole new role. So they probably looked at a lot of different tapes. And then like a week and a half ago, I get an email and it's like, they want you. They for sure want you for this. Again, I don't even know what this is. I have no idea what the role is. I don't know what nothing. They've been in rewrites. That's why there was this like big gap of time, because they knew that they had this new role, but then they had been like reworking the script and like doing a lot of stuff. She's like, when are you available these dates? And I'm like, oh no. Because at this point, I've now planned stuff. I'm going to Pittsburgh. I got to go to Pittsburgh because we're going to GNC. And this is a very important meeting and trip. You know, I've got to do this. I've told my mom I'm coming home for Christmas at this time, and I don't live there anymore, and I'm never home. And so it's like I have my whole family planning on me coming home, and I'm never home. You know, I'm going to Brazil for my friend's wedding. I've got all these trips that I now can't really move that easily, but I will still see what I can do to try and make it work. So I call my sponsors and companies, and like, you know, they're still very supportive. Mm-hmm. I tell them, yes, I'm available, even though I'm like, my blood pressure, my stress is like rising. And it was like the quickest turnaround for me to go to Atlanta. So we find out, you know, they're like, can you be here, you know, this day? So this is what happened. So I went to Atlanta on a Monday to be there for a meeting. So it was the 5th. No, sorry, the 3rd. I went to Atlanta on the 3rd of December. I was there for a big meeting. So we had the meeting on the 4th. I flew home on the 5th or the 6th, whatever. I basically was flying home from from Pittsburgh to then have not even a full day.
And then turn around and fly back.
Yeah.
To Atlanta.
So I remember I was trying to do all my laundry and put all these things in order. We're doing an Enswear launch. I've got new items coming in. We had to shoot photos in this one day, not even a full day. I had to get all this stuff ready. I had to go and somehow take photos of new items. And I haven't like built out my studio yet, so I don't have like all the lights. It was so stressful. And I left the next morning. Because what I was trying to do is get them to book me like an afternoon flight to go to Atlanta. Because then it would give me like a day, and then in the morning I could do photos. So I could really get things in order and then go the next day. And they called me and like they understood, like they felt really bad too, because it was this, I just went to the East Coast, came back for not a full day, and I'm going back. But I needed to get there because I had to do a costume fitting because we were filming the next day. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I understand. And there's the big time difference, like 3-hour difference. Right. So I understood that I didn't have a lot of time.
Right.
So we got it done. We went to Atlanta, and I immediately go from my hotel to the studio for this costume fitting, and the following, that was Thursday, and then Friday we're filming.
Your one day in town, you came over to my house at like 10 p.m. Mm-hmm. And we looked over your script and tried to watch some of the shows so that we had an idea of what you were doing.
And it's like, you know, I'm looking for my name in the script too for us to even like understand like what am I doing? Like, who am I?
To do a little research.
Right? Like, right. When you get a script and you're going to do, like, a self-tape or whatever, like, usually you have a script and it's like, okay, you got to dissect it. It's like, I need to learn as much as I can about, you know, what I am, what's happened before this moment.
Right.
You know, by the number on the page or the scene, it's like, how far are we into the episode? How far are we into the movie? Is this the end of the movie? Mm-hmm. Is it the beginning? Because all of that is going to change your character, or like, or the way you play it,
or how you're gonna say kiss my ass,
or how you're gonna say kiss my ass. Yeah, so it was crazy. I mean,
so you get there
super last
and so
minute.
Did you have like a trailer?
When I first got there, I did not have a trailer.
Okay.
On Friday, because we filmed an episode Friday,
mm-hmm.
and then I had days off where then we were just doing like practice and stunt practice, mm-hmm. and then we had 2 days of filming.
What did you have to do for stunts? I want to know.
Well, first we'll take a quick break and then we'll come back.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you about stunts. And it was so fun. And you saw the bruise on my leg.
Oh, it's huge. It's like on your ass
and
your
so,
leg.
This is like the craziest part is I was like, I could feel myself like getting bruised. And egged me on.
It's like the...
I'm like, that's like the crazy... That's like the CrossFit mindset. Like,
bring
it on. All right, we're going to take a quick break. And we'll come back and talk
about your bruise.
More specifics about my experience on this TV set. This episode of Between the Reps is brought to you by Scentbird. Sorry, I'm going to say that again. Scentbird. You can't forget the T. It's like, I'm from Utah. I say mountain, right?
You say a lot of things weird.
And a lot of people are like, no, you say, mountain.
You say I-N-G's. Ng.
Ng? What do you say? Ing?
Ing.
Scentbird is a luxury perfume subscription service that allows you to try all kinds of different scents, which is cool because if you have commitment issues like Gina here and me, well, no, mostly Gina.
Mostly me.
You don't have to commit to one flavor. You can try all kinds.
Well, and I don't like getting so much of one thing. I like getting, I mean, that sounded weird.
No, I agree. Like,
but I don't like getting, like buying the huge things. I like having
and when they're
little
expensive.
Small bits so I can keep changing it.
And when they're expensive, I mean, if this company allows you to try a lot of those bougie, you know,
mm-hmm.
pricey scents. Champagne, what is it? Your champagne?
Champagne taste on a beer budget.
Yeah. Champagne taste on a beer budget. That's what this gives you, which is awesome.
Which is, and it's kind of like my monthly scent adventure.
I didn't know you had one of those. I want to go on one of those. Come with me on my monthly scent adventure. All you have to do is sign up for your monthly subscription
mm-hmm.
to Scentbird. Scentbird has 450 different designer brands, and you choose one every month. Oh, this is my favorite part.
What?
I want you to sing the song, Gina. Louis, Gucci, Gucci.
Fendi, Prada. I screw it up every time.
Yeah, I almost screwed it up, but you saved me, so thank you. So you'll choose a perfume. They'll send it in a 30-day supply.
How many sprays is that?
That's 120.
So you always smell amazing.
Dude, I really, the next time my subscription shows up, I'm going to test that out.
All at one time. All the sprays?
Well,
I love
it. All at one time. One, two, three, four. We're going to test it. Free shipping.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Skip the department store and pushy sales, people.
I can't stand that.
For instance... skip it during like the holiday time. Just give, that's a great gift actually. Start someone on a subscription to smell better. I'm going to do that. So with this exclusive offer for all of our listeners, you'll get 50% off your first month today. That's only $7.50 for your first perfume, which is amazing.
Yeah.
I've never spent that on a bottle of nice perfume. So to get 50% off of your first month, you can go to scentbird.com, which is S-C-E-N-T, don't forget the T, bird.com/reps, and use our code REPS, R-E-P-S, for 50% off your first month. Again, S-C-E-N-T, bird.com/reps. Use our code REPS to get 50% off your first month, which is super cheap, only $7.50. And also, you might smell better than me and Gina do right now.
Sign on and smell amazing.
All right. So get there Thursday. Go into costume fitting. And I go in and they're like, so we're going to... This is the best part. My hair was kind of wavy. because I just traveled, right? Right. I curled my hair, but it wasn't like done. And the woman who's in charge of makeup and hair, she's like, had this concerned look on her face because she was letting me know.
She didn't know what to do with you?
Well, no, she was like letting me know, like,
I can't do anything with
this. It's too pretty. Oh. And at this point, again, I don't know what I'm playing.
Right.
Right. So I'm like, okay. I'm like, no, we don't have to keep it curly. I just traveled here. And so that's when let me know. Mm-hmm. I went in for my costume fitting and they put me in scrubs.
How long does it take to do all the makeup and stuff?
It was not long for me because the first time it was longer.
Okay.
Because they made me frozen.
Mm-hmm.
The second time it was nothing. It was like barely any concealer. Literally, and then they basically had to make me look really tired.
Right.
So, like, nothing on except for a little bit of, just a little bit of, like, coverage. And then it was mostly done on my eyes and around my mouth to make me look, like, really exhausted because I've been sleeping for 30 years.
Right.
So, I go in, I put on my scrubs, and I'm thinking, and, like, also, too, like, there's my clothes rack mm-hmm. for, like, all of the different options. I got to try on all the stuff. They got to see right. how they fit. And it's all denim.
Oh my God.
Like the whole thing is denim. And I'm just inside being like, yes. At the same time, no.
I mean, you really are at their whim. Yeah.
You know, and like, that's it. Like, and you can't, like, it's not about like being cute or pretty or whatever. It's about looking the way you're supposed to look. It's
being
like
a dead person yes. in denim.
So I do my costume fitting. Mm-hmm. And then we basically the next day, my call time was 1:00. You go in. And I went in, they start making me, they probably started my makeup about 2 by yeah. the time. And they start by painting me kind of blue and like doing, I'm in scrubs, they're just painting me from like my arms down and then my face and my neck.
And did that take long or?
It took a while. Yeah, and it was airbrushing and mm-hmm. you have to like layer all the different colors. So after they have like my coloring right, with a lot of like blue because you've been like frozen and frostbitten, they have all of, they put my hair in this like a low ponytail. And it needs to make my hair look frozen, right? So they have this jar of ice. It's like a jelly that makes it make you look like you have like ice on you.
Oh.
So I've got that on my arms, on my hands,
saw the picture
all
of you.
Over
yeah.
my face, my eyebrows, really my cool. lips, and then my hair. Because it's got to look like I'm like frozen.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the ends of my hair. And then they go through and they use like different fake snow or frost. And a lot of it's done, it's salt.
Oh.
Like almost in like different grains of salt. So I've got it all over and like other stuff too. I don't really know what it was made
of. Start
like
to bloat?
In my hair. I was immediately just like.
You got some in your mouth.
Just like absorbing water. Like a sponge.
Were your ankles swollen?
Yes. Yeah, this is another thing about television or movies. I experienced this on the movie set too.
It's very cool.
Hurry up and wait.
Oh, yeah.
So on my call sheet, I was in makeup at 2, on set at 4:30. Right, but
how long did you wait before you?
We didn't even start my scene, and I'm in like just disgusting. And
right.
it's me and I've got two buddies. We're like a team of people. We're all in these like super frozen looks, and we didn't even get on set till 8 p.m.
Oh my God! So you just sat there waiting.
Yeah, and this is funny. So I was showing Derek Lewis. He's a UFC fighter. He's like number 2 in the world. He's incredible and so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm showing him one of my latest YouTube videos of me and James Krause who...
Oh, when he choked you out?
He choked me out.
Mm-hmm.
And he turns this... Oh my God. This is, I turn the video on and Derek goes, "Who is that?" And I go, "That's me." And he goes, "Oh." And I'm like, "What? This look doesn't do it for you?" Like, I looked just so different that even other people
he
on
didn't
set.
Didn't recognize you.
Yeah. Other That's people funny. On set. Like, I remember I was walking the other day and Jose, he's in the show too. And he was like, "Oh, I met you the other day. I didn't even recognize you." I'm like, the hair and makeup must have done a really good job.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But yes,
so wait,
we sat
I
want to
hear about your
day.
Stunts though.
Okay.
So, like,
we
did
had
you have
stunt
to...
practice on Monday.
Okay.
I didn't do any stunts on Friday. It was like I had to roll out of this thing and there was like a metal piece and that's why you roll out and you do the scene over and over again. That's why I developed this massive bruise on my leg.
Kept like rolling
massive,
out.
Okay.
Like just doing like a somersault?
You basically, I'm like laying roll down. It's like me waking up.
Oh, okay.
Roll out and you're like, well, whatever. Okay.
Like a zombie?
Kind of, yeah.
No, I love zombies.
I know you do. Okay. So Monday was stunt day
mm-hmm.
and I go in, I'm super pumped. I did stunts with, I did a stunt test for Justice League, mm-hmm. and the response I got was the same this time. But the response was, you could have a career in stunts if you wanted it.
Would you do that?
Yeah.
Kind of be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they said that when I did the Justice League too. And they also said, you know, they were like, you are, this is your first time doing this and you are better than more than half of the women that are doing stunts right now. And this was the same thing here, which I had a fantastic time on this, working with this production team, by the way. They were, everyone was so great. And that's not, I can't say that for the last two times that I was in that sort of industry.
Right.
So it was a really pleasant surprise. And the same thing, like I'm learning, I'm with the girls and I'm learning like a ton of stunt, like hand-to-hand combat, like it's a lot. Like our scene was like, it's like a really big battle scene. So we start moving and I'm just catching on so fast because I am super athletic. I do CrossFit, I'm physical, I'm active, but then I've also danced my whole life. So choreography is
easy for you.
Easy for me. Like mm-hmm. I catch on really well, and like body mechanics and things like that. So they were getting, you know, super surprised, and they're getting super pumped. Like the guy who's was the stunt coordinator and the choreographer, super excited. So then they're like getting really excited because they're like nitpicking me, and they keep saying like, we normally like I wouldn't do this, but you're already doing it so well that like I want to like really make you even better, you know. And they said, I work with a lot of actresses, and I go, and it made me stand back because I was like, oh, well, I mean, I kind of consider myself like more of an athlete than like an actress, you know, because this whole thing is very new to me. And it's like, well, I guess I am an actress because I've landed an acting role in multiple things now. But like for them, you know, they work with, when they're doubling someone, because this was my double, they have to help you. Like their job is to get you looking as good as possible. And the running joke the whole time I was there was that my double didn't have a job. They literally had me.
I was going to ask how much the double actually did.
So there was two things that were like a flip, like a bigger mm-hmm. stunt that like they for sure like wouldn't, even if like for me, I would want to try it.
You do a flip?
Yeah.
Like a backflip or a front flip?
It's in a fight scene and I get like flipped on my back.
Okay.
Like for me, it's like I would 100% want to try it because that's kind of how I am, and I'm
physical.
But for them, it's very important. Like there's a lot more to it, right? Like insurance and things,
sure.
And they have to really be careful. And if it's not in the contract for you to do it, like if something bad happened, it'd be really bad. But for me, there was so much of what I was doing in choreograph that I could do that I wanted to do it. And the producers or like the directors were like, if we can have her do it, that's better because...
Well, sure, it's going to look more authentic.
Well, really, and just because then you don't have to worry about like seeing someone else's face. Like mm-hmm. this is obviously lower budget than when I did Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman in the Justice League, they do face swapping.
It's crazy.
I mean, the stunt doubles, they have like these dots they put on their face and they can basically take their face and swap it with the actresses.
Oh, wow.
So, and this you can't.
Right.
You know, so...
Here, lean forward.
What am I doing?
Your hair's messed up.
I'm a hot mess today.
No, you're not.
But yeah, so it was crazy. And I, you know, I told them too. I was like, no, I think that they almost thought like, I wonder if she'd really be interested in it because I'm acting. So normally an actress or an actor would want to like keep doing that, you know, and I'm over here like, well, I want to do both really. But they said like one of the guys who was in charge of all the stunt guys was like, if you, you know, would you ever consider a career in stunts? And I was like, absolutely. Like, sign me up.
Yeah, it'd be so cool.
You know?
Yeah.
And then I did talk to him later on and, like, mentioned, you know, I started taking acting classes. I did musical theater my whole life. Like, that's the background that I have. But I wanted to do acting classes because I feel like there will be opportunities that come up. And I want to be prepared for them.
Right.
You know, but I still put all of my other stuff in my fitness and CrossFit and health and, you know, motivational and, like, teaching and things, like, first. And this is something that it's not a hobby, but it's not my main gig. Yeah, it's not like what's really putting like food on the table. Like this is my career.
It's not your first passion.
And this is something that I would love to be able to just allow my platform or my career to broaden and mm-hmm. do more stuff. And he said to me, you know, he's like, I think it would be really important to keep doing the acting, but for you to be someone who can do all your own stunts. He's like, that is like really you know, valuable.
Yeah, it's badass. And so,
which was kind of cool because to me it was like, you could tell me right now, like, you wanted to hire me as like a stunt actor, and I would probably just be like, okay, you know. And like, and his advice was like, keep doing the acting thing because you're really good at that, but keep also like
do the stunt stuff too.
Yeah. So I had a really good time, and there was a time we're practicing and like just running our scene over and over, and they have these pads out. Because if you can put a pad down, and like talking to the stunt men and women, mm-hmm. you know, back in the day, they're like, people, you get wrecked. Like,
oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? You get wrecked. And so it's where I could go and do stunts, and it's not like I'm not ever going to get hurt. You still have to prepare because you still can get hurt, and people still have injuries. Like, doing that, it's an active physical thing. You're basically falling or jumping through windows and like doing all this stuff in the safest way possible, but you have to learn. It's like you have to learn how to fall. You have to learn,
how to land and fail
without getting hurt, but making it look like you're getting hurt.
So the mats that they put out, are they like yoga mats, or no, they have really cushiony?
Like cushiony ones. Okay. They have like different ones
like
for different
pad or something.
Different ones for different like what you're doing and sure. things like that. But it was really getting in the way for me through some of this. So I like didn't want to do it on the mat. And I had knee pads on and things like that. So it's like, I feel like I'm actually going to like roll an ankle if I'm on the mat. And there was just this certain part. And one of the guys, Curtis, he's like, please get on the mat. And I'm like, I don't want to. I'm like, it's actually harder for me. And he goes, he's like, please get on the mat. And it's like, and that's the thing. It's like I'm someone who I consider myself like more of like the stunt person, mm-hmm. you know, like just coming from such an athletic background and what I do for work sure. primarily, and I'm not scared of getting hurt, and I know my body, and I've been hurt. But they also are coming from like working with like the stress that is put on them to not let the actors get hurt.
Well, yeah,
doing this training. So finally, I would I'm on the mat. And he's like, thank you. Like in the middle of it, like I get on my back for the next part. I'm like, I'm on the mat. Thank you.
So I'm
but yeah. I have, like, you know, that mindset of, I don't know, like, people that are good at CrossFit are kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, same thing, like, gymnasts, crazy,
mm-hmm.
okay? And like I said, with the bruise thing, it's like, when it was happening, or, like, when I'm, like, being physical and I'm not hurting myself at all, but it might be a little uncomfortable. Like, for instance, I have, like, a little bruise on my forearm because I throw up. There's, this, like, a punch that I throw and she blocks me.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't hitting me hard, but the same thing over and over again.
Right.
But so, like, that's why they wear. I had, like, forearm pads, oh, okay. knee pads and things, but in the practice, I didn't have a pad on. And I came back the next day and I was like, oh, I don't need both forearm pads. I'm like, this is the only area that kind of was bothering me a little bit. But they, to them, it's if you can put a pad on, like, just better safe than sorry with everything. So for them nowadays versus in the past, like, if they can put a mat down,
mm-hmm.
they will put a mat down. If they can do this, they will do this. Like, but back in the day, you had people just doing stunts, but they didn't have
just
the mats.
The
they didn't have
kicked
yes,
out of them.
Yes, yeah, just getting beat up.
Hats off to them.
Do you want to do stunts, Gina?
No.
I always joked. That if I ever had a double
uh-huh.
for me, that it would have to be a boy. Like a body double.
Like for your arms?
Yes, just for my body. But I learned it doesn't, because Kate was my double and she was great.
It's awesome.
Yeah. But I did. I was always joking, like, you know, if I ever landed a role and it was like a very physical role or something where...
It'd be a guy with a wig
on. I mean, I was fully covered up though. So like if right. I was in like not covered up, I'm like, I always joked they would need like a guy with a wig.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was talking to someone too just about me wanting to do more stunts, and they had said, this is a guy that I was working with that has been doing stunts for a super long time.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you'd have to lose like 20 pounds. And I was like...
What?
And I looked at him and I was like,
no.
Well, then I can't do it then.
Yeah, no.
I'm like, there's no way. Like, even if I want, because I guess like stunt people are, you're just a little smaller.
They're tiny.
I mean, you meet like actors and actresses too, a lot of them.
They're all tiny.
Well, they're all like different sizes. People are all different sizes, but a lot of people are small.
I'm sticking by they're mostly tiny.
Like, even some of the people that are on this show, like, I see them and they make them look like they're
so
like tall and big. Mm-hmm. And then I met them in person, I'm like, huh,
you're teeny.
Yeah. Which I guess like in CrossFit too, the amount of people that come up to me and
oh,
they're
that's
like,
true.
Oh, you're so much smaller in person.
I thought you were ginormous.
Yeah. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm a monster.
I had somebody tell me one time that had seen me on your Instagram. Yeah. They were like, oh, you're so much taller and better looking in person.
Dude, I had so many people tell me that I'm better looking in person.
I was like wow, oh, you're wow, so, you're, I don't know what to say to
like,
that.
I thought you were pretty, but you're way more beautiful in person. I'm like, oh, that's good, I guess.
They didn't even say that to me. They didn't say, oh, I thought you were pretty, but you're better looking in person.
You're
they
taller
said,
and better
oh, you're
looking.
Taller and better looking than I thought. I was like, what the f-? Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, I think. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out when the episode airs if the camera really adds 10 pounds. However, I was like covered in denim.
Oh, yeah. The denim's
And we were
gonna,
shooting outside.
No one's
going to
be able to
cold.
See you.
Shooting outside, it was freezing cold, so they wanted us to be as warm as possible.
Right.
So I had like,
you, had, like,
you
a
guys
big jacket.
Saw my jeans.
You had a
I had
sweet
jeans.
White belt.
I had thermals under my pants. That was actually kind of, I was like testing the limits of those pants the whole time.
Just going to burst.
Squats. Like, just like, I'm going to rip these out, man. I really thought I was going to.
A blowout.
But, yeah. The denim wasn't as bad as I thought it'd be.
No.
In fact, might be pulling it back. 70s look. My hair was great. Nice ponytail with these like Farrah
Little waves
Fawcett
in the
bangs.
Front.
Yeah.
I want you to do your line one time though.
Kiss my ass. I had another line too, and then we'll end this thing. But my second line was, glad you made it. Now we won't have to hunt you down.
Ooh.
Ooh. Now we won't have to hunt you down.
That's a cliffhanger right there.
All right, guys. That was my first time on a TV show. It was crazy.
That is
even
crazy.
More crazy, I landed in LA with an email saying, the director wants you to come back.
Then are you going to?
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, we'll find out next time on.
Yeah, I'm not sure yet. So you guys aren't sure either. Thanks for listening to Between the Reps with Brooke and Gina.
And thanks again for listening.
Thank you. We love you guys. Keep listening. Comment.
Rate.
Rate.
Shit. What is it again?
Rate. Review.
Review. Subscribe.
Rate,
five star
review,
rating.
Five star rating. Review. Subscribe. Five star us so we can like push our podcast up to the top. And
so we can get six listeners.
Yeah, we're trying to get
five.
That sixth one. We love you guys. Thanks for all your help, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.